The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And hello to you all. Welcome in. The Eric Zane Show podcast is happening right now from the posh, luxurious Impact Power Sports Studios. Hello, hello, hello. We meet once again. A radio show today. I mean, it started off, I thought everything was fantastic. But something happened. Now, this is not an easy problem. And that's usually the first thing that I focus on whenever there's something going haywire. What have I done? So right away, I'm looking around at my makeshift setup here. And I'm like, and there's about a million and one things that could be pressed or unplugged or plugged in that could be disastrous. It all looks okay. So then I go, all right, I got to wake up JJ. And this guy is something else. He is he's very, very talented. He can figure anything out. And not only, and he's like a triple threat. He can do all the technical stuff, and he can dance, and he can perform on the air. So those are the three things you need. And I'm like, what are you doing here? I mean, this is small market radio, the smallest of small market radio. This guy, I think, if he wanted to, he could go anywhere. He's that good. It's not often that you have someone who actually can have the skills to do an on-air thing, but also all of the behind-the-scenes skills, like pseudo-engineer, like my man Dave Grant here, who set me up in the studio. And he's on call all the damn time. I don't know where to put this. This huge-ass cup. So, he gets calls all the time from me at an ungodly hour. So, I sit down here and I'm like, all right, this shit's fucked up. What do I do? I'll just call JJ. I call him up. Buddy, I'm not getting any sound. Because I should be able to hear the radio station, like what the music they're playing on Q100. And I hear nothing. Like, for example, right now, I know you can't hear it now. There you go. I don't know what that is. I can't hear it. I don't hear anything. Like, oh, that's a problem. He goes, yeah, we lost power. I go, wow. He goes, let me try to fix it. So he logs onto his computer, and I'm sitting here waiting to start my little duties to get my little rock and roll radio show up and running. He goes, yeah, I got to go into the station. I go, what? He's got to get in his car and drive all the way to the radio station and, like, hit a button. Like, oh, my God. So that was his morning. And this is, like, 3-4 days out of the week he has to put out, like, a fire. I'm like, you should be making, like, $100,000 minimum. Now, the bosses there, that would be JC and Cheryl, they don't want to pay $100,000, but I'm like, you better. This guy is good. He can get shit done. Ryan says, your mic seems hot, big fraud. How's that? All right, I brought it down a little bit. Hopefully that'll suffice. My apologies if it was all crispy and burnt and distorted and dumb. Sometimes I have the wrong thing turned and I don't know, hell breaks loose. Today is Dear Meathead Day. We need questions. If you have a question for Dad on Dear Meathead, send it along, eric@ericzaneshow.com. Looking forward to that for another edition of Dear Meathead. I called him up last night. Hello! And he always sounds so bright and cheery, as you know. That's what you're used to. And I said, hello, handsome! And he goes, hello to you! Now, at this point, when he says hello to you, that's my cue to say, this is your son, Eric. And because I think he's to a point now that, you know, the old subtle reminder here and there is probably very helpful. And I cannot put myself into the place of my 90-year-old father, dementia patient dad, to try to understand what that is like. That would be very frightening to me. And that's that is to me and to my stepmother, his lovely wife, Joanne, a goal. Keep him from being frightened out of confusion. You know, does that make sense? Because imagine if you suddenly... you had some of your wits about you and you knew something was going on, but things were out of sorts and you were very confused. And then you see a face and the person is acting familiar, like they know you and you feel like you should know them, but you can't quite wrap your brain around it. I cannot imagine. I don't mean to bring the room down, but that's kind of like we're all in this together in the process with my father. With his mortality. But my God. So I want to hear from you if you have a question for Dad on Dear Meathead. You can send it along on the Shoreliner Strifing inbox, eric@ericzaneshow.com. That's like I had mentioned to you my sweet brother-in-law, Charity Scam Mike. And, you know, occasionally I might have moments where we're like, what are we going to do? Oh my God, this is terrible. It's like, well, look, there's only one thing to do here, and that is just try to make this try to keep him as comfortable as possible. You just don't want him scared. You don't want him frightened. You want to be reassuring. It's just god awful, and it's in the back of my mind, but it keeps slowly but surely getting bigger. And like if I'm looking into a rear view mirror, pretend this illustration, and at one point many years ago, when I was informed that my dad had dementia, like there was a little dot in the rearview mirror. And now that little dot is getting just a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger with each passing day. And it's like, God damn it. This is fucked up. Hang on, I got to drink this after all that heaviness. You know, it happens. Something we all have in common. It's all going to happen to us one way or another. You just hope it's way down the road. It's like that guy that was walking into that, in Oregon, the guy walking into the liquor store. We talked about that video. I played it for you. He woke up that day, and all he wanted to do at 9 a.m. was go get a bottle of hooch. As fate would have it, he opened the door and went into the liquor store at the exact perfect time, because roughly 2 to 3 seconds after that, that giant 3-foot concrete saw blade came loose at 8 billion RPMs off of the saw and took off at a high rate of speed, probably 300-400 miles an hour through the parking lot and buried itself into the wall of the liquor store, the exact spot where that guy was standing. Had he been just a second and a half later to that, to letting himself into the store, he would have been split in half like Wile E. Coyote. My God. Talk about that being such a bizarre thing. He said, yeah, I haven't been able to function throughout the day. He looked like he was kind of fucked up to begin with. Hell, if you're going to the liquor store at 9 a.m. to get a bottle of hooch, you're probably screwed up to begin with. But all in all, it's just one of those things. I'm excited to talk to Dad, and you should be too, damn it. So send your email along, eric@ericzaneshow.com, if you have a question for Dad. If you make it a little complex, I'll water it down so that he understands. The world famous Joey Williamson is here. The man who said pro wrestling should be an Olympic sport is here. And he says, hi, Eric, how's your new gig going? It's going flawlessly. How have you not listened to the Insane Asylum on Q100 Michigan mornings yet? Come on. Download the app. Have at it. All right. Trump was in town just yesterday. This is really screwed up because what people like Trump and the campaigns are doing is they are running with anything they can to further the idea that a top priority should be of any candidate or a person running the country to do whatever it is that they plan on doing at the border. That's like the number one thing that is being stressed to try to win the election. Remember all the build the wall bullshit that went on and on and on during the last one and all that nonsense? Well, that's a big deal when it comes to getting elected. Now, so what they do, people like Trump, whenever there's an incident like what happened a couple of weeks ago here in Grand Rapids where an undocumented immigrant shot and killed his girlfriend, they then jump on that as, all right, let's go to Grand Rapids and we'll further this talking point and use this death as a political football and we try to get elected. That's how we do it. Last year, there was 38 murders in Grand Rapids. That's actually a lot. The national average per 100,000, I believe, in the United States is about 3.5, and Grand Rapids is about 7 murders per 100,000 people. Of those 38, I have no idea last year how many were by undocumented immigrants. It's probably a litany of reasons and of why they happened and a number of circumstances, but I can be reasonably positive that very little or zero of those murders were committed by undocumented immigrants. Yes, because of the number of undocumented immigrants in this country, there will be times when circumstances take place and horrible things happen. Is that a priority, though, to make it so? Does that make it like the front burner? Only thing you need to worry about is the border? I can't get behind that. I don't have an answer, but holy shit. I saw one meme that said, I'm not so much concerned about the people crossing the border, considering the amount of assholes we have here. And it's an image of the Capitol being overrun by all those pieces of shit on January 6th, 2020. Was that 2020? Or 2021? I don't know. It doesn't matter anymore. All right. So Trump shows up here. He's at a podium that says, stop Biden's border bloodbath. Oh, my God. And he starts referencing the death of the young lady that was killed here. And then he says that he talked to the family before his speech, that he spoke with them. But he did not. He's full of shit. And I don't even know why he needed to even say that. He doesn't, if he didn't meet with them, that doesn't really change anything. It's still your same message, as crazy as it sounds. Why did you have to add that you met with this family? That is easily denied by the family, and that's exactly what they did. So Ken Colker, who's just amazing over at Channel 8, even though the family had said, we don't want to talk to anybody, they like reached out immediately when Ken Colker said, hey, can we talk about this one thing about Trump saying he talked to you? They were like, fuck no. Yes, he didn't. Bring a camera over. We'll tell you all about it. He didn't say shit to us. So let's get into this story. By the way, all these law enforcement people behind Trump, these are from all those counties that it's, you know, full of like idiot cops who are stupid. And, you know, like these constitutional county pieces of shit. That's who these assholes are.
And community are left grieving for this incredible young woman, remembering what they called her. They said she had just this most contagious laughter. And when she walked into a room, she lit up that room. And I've heard that from so many people. I spoke to some of her family.
One of the talking points of President Trump's speech was the deadly shooting of Ruby Garcia.
Brandon Ortiz Vite admitted to killing Garcia and dumping her body along U.S. 131 in Grand Rapids. Trump said he spoke with her family, but Target 8 investigator Ken Colker spoke with Ruby Garcia's sister, the family spokesperson, who says that never happened. Ken, what did she have to say?
Ruby Garcia's sister says she's angry that her sister's death has become political.
It's always been about illegal immigrants. Nobody really speaks about when Americans do heinous crimes.
And oh, yeah, I've heard that point made before that, and she's right. You know, there's so much fucked up shit that goes on in the U.S. Not saying that one is worse or not worse than the other, but it's just weird how this is the big thing. There's plenty of problems in the U.S. when it comes to crime and violence.
Kind of shocking why he would just bring up illegals. What about Americans who do heinous crimes like this?
The sister, Mavi Garcia, spoke with the media days after the March 22nd shooting, but the family asked for privacy after that, including on the day of the funeral. But she responded immediately to a text from Target 8 after Trump's speech.
Now Ruby's loved ones and community are left grieving for this incredible young woman, remembering what they called her. They said she had just this most contagious laughter.
She says neither Trump nor anybody from his campaign has contacted her or anybody in her immediate family. She says her family is tight and she would know if that had happened.
He did not speak with any of us, so it was kind of shocking seeing that he had said that he has spoke with us and, you know, is saying, well, misinforming people live TV. Shocking. You know, I kind of stopped watching it. I only seen up to that after I heard, you know, a couple of misinformation that he has said. I kind of just stopped watching it.
Brandon Ortiz Vite, who was in the U.S. illegally, has confessed to killing her sister.
By the way, he looks like a bad dude.
And dumping.
There's no question. He's a bad dude.
Her along U.S. 131. While police say the two were boyfriend-girlfriend, Ruby's sister says the two were friends and that the relationship had not gotten that far. She says she knew that Ortiz Vite was in the U.S. illegally, but did not know the details.
I wish she would have stayed in Mexico. The focus should be on my sister right now, on really, like, who she was in life. I want people to remember how she was in life, that she was a very happy person, a very generous person. She was always so happy, you know, could light up a room.
Now, Trump did get that part right, right?
He did get one part right.
Ortiz.
Can you imagine if she's like, no, actually, she was a mute. She hasn't laughed ever in her life.
Vite is scheduled to appear next in court on April 9th. He's facing five charges, including felony murder and carjacking.
Nope.
There is a program in Michigan. I don't know all the details about it, but I think in the state of Michigan that if certain people that are who are trying to get into the U.S. meet certain requirements, you can like bring them into your home and they like pay you for it, like $500 if you welcome somebody into your home who's trying to get in. I'm like, I would like to do that, but I would only like to open it up to like drug lords just to piss off the Republicans and say, yes, I want all drug lords or drug mules or anyone who wants to hurt white people. You can come into my house. Ryan says this could be a new revenue stream, big fraud. Megan says, I'm not complaining, but I thought law enforcement was supposed to be politically neutral. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Chris says, I don't know how these idiots think they can get away with these lies. What's interesting about that is I was looking at the Wood TV's Facebook post on this story. And that's where the morons will come out to play. And there weren't nearly as many as in because of how ridiculous this was. Trump says, I talked to the family. The sister of the deceased says, no, he did not. So it's pretty cut and dry there. So there wasn't a lot of action in the comments, but there were a few people that said, how do we know the sister is telling the truth? And people said, well, she said it. She said that he did not contact them. Yeah, how do we know she's not lying? That's the brain power that we're dealing with here, okay? I've said it many times before. It's not so much I'm worried about Trump. I'm worried about these assholes that support Trump. Those are the ones that you want to work with. Chris says Pablo Escobar's grandson is looking for a place to live. Ryan says my immigrant tenant could help with the NFK. Oh, he's crabby as shit today, by the way. Oh, my God. I guess Darla was down there, like, making a scene, and I guess he was getting pretty pissed off about that, and it's like, oh, fuck. Ryan writes, MAGA asshats really aren't any different from zombies, if you think about it. So that is a remarkable thing that has happened. I want to share something else with you that's fantastic. Joe Pellerito sent me something that's quite interesting. I don't know how old this is, but it is a Triumph the Insult comic dog bit. So I don't know where it was. It was just an online thing. It doesn't really matter. But they were able to get a number of people to participate in a Donald Trump focus group on damage control. And the leader of the focus group brings in everyday husbands, wives, moms, and dads. And, plays for them clips of Trump saying terrible things. And the bit is listening to these people spin the terrible things that he's saying, even though they're like the worst things that could possibly be said. What they don't know is it's a Trump impersonator who's doing the voice. And it sounds so much like the real Trump, you would think it was like when Trump calls my show, because that's the actual Trump that calls my show. But they have a Trump impersonator. But these people don't know that. They think it's actually Trump saying it. You follow me? So this is the focus group damage control segment with Triumph, the insult comic dog.
The Donald Trump focus group.
I appreciate you sharing that stuff and introducing yourselves. I'm going to jump right into it. We're going to roll. We're going to start out, and I want to share some leaked audio. And, you know, this is audio of Trump saying some things, and we need your candid thoughts on what to do, right? This is not out at this point, but we need to have a plan in place on how to react and respond to this stuff if it ends up hitting the media. So...
Look, I need cameras in the dressing room. You know, cameras on the wall, cameras on...
Talking about in the dressing room for Miss USA.
On the floor, aimed up at their whatevers.
We need cameras on the floor, aimed up at their whatevers. I promise I won't interrupt the whole thing.
Look, I need cameras in the dressing room. You know, cameras on the wall, cameras on the floor, aimed up at their whatevers. I want the best cameras set up by the best Chinaman. Understand?
Yeah, well, that could be a violation.
It's to make sure that they're safe.
Safe?
I mean, look, I can't be there all day. I'll just start grabbing them. Believe me, for them, not me. I'm a man. They're beautiful women. It's totally natural. You know, sometimes I'll walk in naked. So then we're all naked. I mean, if they file a complaint against me, I can file it right back at them. The Jew lawyer taught me that one.
Okay, so now he's going to go around and get the reaction.
We need to have a plan in place on how to react and respond to this stuff if it ends up hitting the media.
Well, this is obviously old. It's before he decided he was going to be a politician. Mm-hmm. I personally don't care. I just don't care.
See, okay. I like him because he says all that. We love it when he says what everybody thinks and won't say. And with that personality goes those kind of comments most of the time.
What?
As a man.
Wow. I like when he says that.
Personality goes those kind of comments most of the time.
As a man, I know I've been in situations, we've been in locker rooms, we've been, it's man talk. I've done it, said it, they've done it, said it. I've been around plenty of men, professional, I mean, wow. You name it. Every man has said something to the effects that, you know.
That they'd like to put a camera in a teenage girl's chin.
All right, we're gonna move on to the next one.
We'll be back with lots more of Donald Trump. Don't go away.
Larry King. So this is obviously made to sound like it was a real real interaction. But it's fake, but they don't know that.
Okay, so am I doing all right, Larry? Because I'm a little woozy. I just get back from giving blood for this paternity test.
So what do they have to say?
It's for Ivanka. I'm double-checking that she's really my daughter. You know, I don't want to go my whole life and find out that she was fair game after all, you know?
Your own birth.
It's just that she's voluptuous, successful, and, you know, frankly, I heard she's great in bed.
And we're back in 5.
Okay.
4.
Does oral count as incest?
Fuck.
We're back with Donald Trump. We're going to be all over the board tonight.
So these people all think that's real. That Trump just said about his daughter, does oral count as incest?
Okay, so how do you feel about this one?
He's complimenting his daughter, like in his head.
Yes, it's crass because that is his own daughter. He's still a human male. As a male, I do say some things that are crude.
Okay,
absolutely.
Yeah, that does not matter that is fake audio. That these people don't know that. They think that's Trump. Holy shit. That's the type of stuff that if anybody like sees those people on there, it like in the wild, like the real people that we just saw, oh my God. Tyler says, I was hoping that the lady would say, I like that he says things like that. Again, LOL. What is it about those people? They just have an air about them. Every single person in that room, just you could just sense that there was some type of dark aura around these animals. Ryan says this proves that MAGA asshats are zombies and will never give a flying shit about anything he does. He could nuke the UK. Well, he did what he had to do. Rebecca says they are brainwashed. Let me ask you this. A lot of folks have talked about what Trump is doing could lead to something just like the Holocaust. If you could put a percentage on how true you think that is in the chat, I'm curious what you think. I would say like single digits, that ultimately this will wind up as genocide of someone, some group of people. But that's what a lot of people think. Let me back off that. How many of you think, maybe not killing people, but a dictatorship where he cannot be removed from power, he's ruling like Putin? That type of dictatorship. Kuipers, who loves Trump, says 0%. That won't happen. Chris says 0%. Cole says 0%. He loves Trump too. Rich says 10%. Chris says also 0%. I think I agree with you for the most part. Allison says 10% depends on who he appoints into power alongside him. God, we shouldn't even be able to have this conversation, though, frankly. All right. Allison isn't often here on the live chat. We say hello to her from beautiful Harbor Humane, doing the Lord's work. I'm going to take a quick break. It's potty time. Don't forget, Dear Meathead in mere moments. Send them along, eric@ericzaneshow.com. Kyle Fade, as we sit here. Patrick writes, The Rock now has Cody Rhodes' blood on his belt. If he's able to get Mama Rhodes' tears on the belt at WrestleMania this weekend, he will become unstoppable. It would take someone with supernatural abilities like The Undertaker to defeat him then. Corey says, dude, I'm pumped for WrestleMania. First time I've cared in almost 13 years. Patrick says, same, dude. Corey says, Stone Cold and John Cena will show up. Kenny writes, you guys are slowly turning into Joey. Kenny is expressing disgust with you. Not that Joey's disgusting. I'm just saying he's looking at you like, oh boy. That's saying something. A guy who beats off to Miss Pac-Man is judging you. Cole writes, Brock Lesnar will come back to beat The Rock. Molly writes, I want to see Paul and Tyson in July. I do too, because Mike Tyson is going to destroy that asshole. I've been watching video of him. His feet and hands are so fast. At 57 years old, and he's got the body of a 28-year-old. Kyle writes, The Rock will turn on Roman and join Cody and Seth. Look at all these people that are weighing in on this topic. Kenny writes, wrestling is so fucking stupid. Now, I can't go that far and say it's stupid. I'm not into it. But the way wrestling can be described is theatrical as a Broadway play, as physical as anything, and just fun. That's it. People who watch wrestling, they know it's not real, but I can't agree with you when you say soap opera for inbreds. Some of the people that are the closest in my life love wrestling. So I can't really, say anything terrible about people who love wrestling. I think more interesting than the actual wrestling is the hard stance by people like Bulls on Parade, who says, I can't take people serious that take wrestling seriously. It's pathetic. It's not pathetic. It says, enjoyable is like watching a show on Netflix, frankly, except it's a long-running storyline. You're right, like a soap opera. What is wrong with that? It's just like watching any show where you're left with a cliffhanger ending. There is nothing wrong with liking wrestling. You will not get any judgment out of me when it comes to people who like wrestling or the actual... I'll tell you this. When you are at a wrestling event and you're there to people watch, and there are people there who take this so seriously, I mean, they're like weeping or they're cheering just a little too hard or they're a little too mad. Going to a wrestling event is sensory overload. You've got the players in the ring. You've got the fans, the interaction when they're doing mic work inside of the ring and the fans contributing to what the chick or the dude is saying. There's a lot going on there. Not to mention the BO from some of these people. Maybe not you guys, but some of the people there are a little bit fucked up. There's no question. But that's a show in and of itself, being surrounded by that. When I was living in Tennessee, I got into the ring to be a manager wrestler. It was twice. I told you about the one time when I wrestled, but this is the second time I wrestled. It was literally in a Walmart parking lot in north of Knoxville. And I'll never forget, because I was playing a heel, and the guy that was the champion, I was his manager. And the guy that was challenging was the face. And there was a moment in the match when the champ, the guy, I forgot his name, that was on my team, was supposed to hold the baby face, and I was going to hit him with the championship belt, but the guy moved. He's supposed to move, and I'm going to hit my guy with the belt. And he says to me beforehand, I go, well, what about hitting you? How do I? He goes, just hit me. Just hit me as hard as you can with it. Don't worry about, because it's impossible to make it look real if you don't know what you're doing. So when I hit him with it, I did. I hit him as hard as I could, but it was with the edge of the belt where the metal is, the edge of the metal on the front of the belt. And it hit him right on like the temple / eyebrow area, and it made a very large gash. So that was actually, he was after it. He goes, God damn it, man. You really clocked me with that on the wrongs. You should have hit me with the flat side of it. I go, I know, but I hit him with the edge of it. So it kind of fucked him up. So he's bleeding, which was selling it. That worked out. But so this all happens. I'll never forget this lady wearing like a big girl camisole. She was super fluffy. And she looked like fuck. And she had one of those big sweet tart suckers in her mouth that looked like the head of a penis, big, and she had it in her mouth. And she got up on the apron and pulled that thing out of her mouth, and she's holding it by the sucker handle, and she whips it at me. She actually threw the fucking sucker at me, which would have hurt if it hit me. She goes, "You son of a bitch, fuck you." And she throws it at me. People are booing, throwing shit in the ring. It was fucking great, man. My God. Yeah, I was in the ring twice. There's video somewhere of me wrestling that wrestling that little person. Butch Cassidy was his name. All right, so there seems to be a war now with audience members over pro wrestling. Corey writes, "Remember when Chris Benoit killed his family? Was that fake, Kenny?" Kenny says, "I have no idea who that is, Corey." Yeah, you gotta at least try. I mean, when I was a kid, I followed wrestling, and I don't really follow it now. I mean, I could give you some names, and I'm aware of the Cody Rhodes story with The Rock, and it's because you guys talk about it, and it's kind of hard to miss it, you know. But you know, I'm not really that interested in it. I'm more interested in my pals, you know, enjoy it. Molly says, "I want to see the video, Easy." I will try to locate the video. It's somewhere online. And I have a tape somewhere, an actual VHS tape of it somewhere. All right, before I bring in Dad for Dear Meathead, and if you have a question, please send it along, eric@ericzaneshow.com. I'm going to kick the audience out that's on X and Facebook. Get the rest of the show on Twitch. Follow me on Twitch. Thank you. Facebook and Twitch brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. X brought to you by Blue Frost IT. The open and live stream of today's show coming to you from King's Room Barbershop. Three locations, Northland Drive, Caledonia, and at 821 36th Street in beautiful Wyoming, Michigan. Can't miss them. Check them out online at kingsroom.net. Get a great haircut. King's Room Barbershop, where guys get their haircut and ladies who like short hair. If you want the Pat Benatar cut from 1982, they can do it. King's Room Barbershop. I've got a Vouch store. Vouch is a spot online where creators team up with small business to sell products. You buy the products, that's good for the small business. It's good for me. If you want to check out the products for sale, go to vouch.store/Eric Zane. As you know, this show originates in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Get after it and check out the selection of amazing, fun things you can purchase at Impact Power Sports. Things like motorcycles, e-bikes, Yamaha golf carts. Full service department to take care of you if anything goes wrong or you have some preventative maintenance that you want to have taken care of. They do it all at Impact Power Sports, online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay, and that app, and oh, my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And of course, it's a video camera, so it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufy.com, EUFY.com, for more information. They're online for Amazon. You can get them at Best Buy stores. Starting around May 20th, this thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. You can get it on Amazon or Best Buy stores starting around May 20th. EUFY.com. That's Eufy.com.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Mark reached out to me, EZ, any chance you can send me that recipe or a link for the leg of lamb? Yes, and I did send it, and I need to put it, let me write that down on my list of things to do, which I will forget. Lamb. Include that in the show notes of this audio podcast. Go to Costco, get the leg of lamb. They take the bone out for you, thank God. Make sure when you open it up, the meat, skin side up, kosher salt and pepper, generously. Then you have your oil, your lemon zest, your garlic blend. It's a paste. You rub it all on. A little more salt, a little more pepper. Have your baker's twine all cut, ready to go so you don't make a mess. In the appropriate lengths, you probably need about 5 to 10 lengths of baker's string or baker's twine. Roll it in, a punch it in, a mark it with a J. You roll it up, tie it up, throw it in the oven. After about an hour, check the temp. If you're at 132 to 135, get it out of there. Do not overcook this. You want it to be like prime rib. It's time to bring in Dad for Dear Meathead. I should make that more often. It's really good. You got to go mayonnaise and horseradish, too, for like your dipping sauce.
Hello.
Hello, Daddy.
How you doing, my son?
Very well. How are you?
I don't know. I just opened my eyes.
Oh, it's 11 a.m. There's no way you just opened your eyes.
I did. You fell asleep in the chair. I fell asleep in the chair.
Kenny wants to know if you like professional wrestling.
What?
Professional wrestling.
You know, like Killer Kowalski or The Sheik?
No, I don't go for that stuff.
Yeah?
Oh.
Don't believe it.
What is it, Joanne?
I don't believe it. I think
Joanne says she don't believe it.
Yeah, I think they acknowledge that it's all an act.
I don't know. I never did care for it.
Do you guys remember Dick the Bruiser?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's legendary. Legendary name right there.
Yeah, I know, but years ago was all right, but at this moment, I don't care for it.
Hey, I wanted to let you guys know we had a favorite meal that I think you guys would like, leg of lamb.
Oh, yeah. That, where is it?
It's in my belly. It's in my belly.
Well, we ate it already.
No, you didn't. I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. But
did we eat it when?
No.
No, we didn't eat
no,
it.
No, I was just telling you that we had that for Easter.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, hey, we got to make that. I'm going to bring over a leg of lamb. And
oh, my God. A leg of lamb?
Yeah.
Lamb, you know how long it takes us to eat that?
No, I'll bring the leg, and we'll have a feast.
Yes.
All right. We have a party.
Yeah, I just wish those things weren't so cute, though. Lambs are cute.
I know.
It kind of breaks my heart. It's,
yeah.
I don't know why baby Jesus made them cute and delicious.
I don't know. Baby Jesus, I don't know.
It's really a conflict, you know. I mean, something as adorable as a lamb, and it's
kill it and then eat it.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but we at the same time we got to eat, you know.
I suppose, you know, but if you put it in front of me, definitely I'll devour it.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're gonna pet it and then you're gonna throw it in the oven.
Right. So, how are things going over there?
Never better, you know. I mean, it's been raining quite a bit, and I know you've experienced that too. And that's where Patrick has a question. Now, Patrick lives in beautiful South Carolina. He says, Meathead, it is raining all day here. I feel like I should be doing something. What should I do? Like, he's almost like bored. He needs something to do. It's raining.
God, if it's raining, you can't do nothing. I mean, you can really get sort of wet, you know.
Well, what about, like, in the house, you know? Maybe you could clean the house, you know, maybe clean the toilets, clean the bathroom.
Well, I see Joanne did some cleaning up in here. Joanne does all of the cleaning.
Yeah, you got to help her. You got to assist her.
I would, but she won't let me do anything.
Yeah, he tried yesterday. Spilled water all over the floor.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I suggest she puts you on your hands and knees so that you don't...
I don't know.
Yeah, you can pick up everything by hand.
Yeah, or, you know, I would have you scrub the floor or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I have no complaints.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I say that's what's happening today. You're going to have to scrub the floor, Dad.
No, floor is clean.
Okay.
She did a good job yesterday. Was it yesterday you went?
Who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. She's like, whatever, I don't care.
It don't matter.
Jimmy in beautiful Portland, Maine, he writes, Dear Meathead and Joanne, I wish you could come to Maine to see the eclipse. He says, you can bring Eric and a leg of lamb.
I want to go to Maine and eat a lobster.
Exactly. Now, that eclipse is coming on.
Maine lobster.
Yeah, Maine lobster would be fantastic.
I'd like that myself.
So that eclipse is Monday. And where you guys are, it won't be totally dark, but it's going to be pretty dark. Have you been following the story about the total eclipse? Yes, ma'am. So
it's in daytime?
It is. And if you like were in Toledo, Ohio, or over by Cedar Point, it would be 100% dark in like from 1 second it would be light to the next second dark for several minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's like a really unbelievable thing when that happens. And it's supposed to be...
And then what do you do if that happens? You just close your eyes?
Well, I think that a lot of those people come from far away just to be in the spot. Yeah, to actually be there. So it's kind of like an adventure for them. You're going to get a lot of people that want to be in the path of that to experience it. It's a once in a lifetime thing, you know?
Yeah.
But
I wonder if everybody knows they shouldn't look at it without glasses on, though.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I'm glad you brought that up. No matter what happens, do not look at it because you'll be tempted to, and then, you know, there's a good chance you could burn your eyes out.
Damage your eyes.
Yeah, you know, you can't have that. But, you know, people always do look at it. I would love to get the insight from the emergency room of people who go there blind.
Oh, my God. That would be terrible.
Yeah, I mean, because people aren't going to listen. There's those special glasses, like you said.
Yeah, but I wonder, like little children, would they think? It just seems like it's scary.
Well, yeah. Nowadays.
You shouldn't even hand the kids outside.
No, don't do it, no matter what.
No.
Of course, nowadays, if a kid looks at the sun, the parents are going to try to sue the sun.
Oh.
When it's their own fault, you know?
I mean, I must have done something as the years went by, but I don't recall any of that.
Hey, I wanted to run something by you guys. I've got a little a social issue. Let's say you're at the hockey game, and they're throwing T-shirts out to the fans, and you got two kids with you, two little kids, and one kid catches a T-shirt, and the other one does not get a T-shirt. Well, the one who doesn't get a T-shirt starts having a temper tantrum because he didn't get a T-shirt because his brother's got one and he doesn't. Well, the mom has a fit and says that's not fair and demands the hockey team give her a T-shirt. What do you think about that?
Well,
I think kids ought to learn life's not fair.
Exactly.
Yeah, Joanne's got all of those responses that you
yes.
give them.
Yes, I think that's a common thing nowadays where parents will be like, well, It's got to be fair. And it's like, well, no, you got to teach them that you don't win everything, right?
In schools and everything, they try to keep everything so nice for the kids nowadays. They grow up to be idiots.
Yeah, let one of them wear it one day and give it the next day to the other kid.
Yeah.
You know, share it.
I just seen it Easter because we had an Easter egg hunt in the yard, and they,
Yeah.
One grandparent keeps everything fair. They can only pick up so many eggs. I just throw them out there and have them run for
them. Oh, yeah, that's entertainment.
Get him. Whatever he got, he keeps.
Yeah. You go out there and you fight for it.
Yeah, right.
Yes, I would say, look, I don't want you guys coming back unless you have black eyes and bloody noses.
Yeah, you're going to an extreme now. Come on.
Yeah. I'm going to be videotaping this. We're going to put it on YouTube. I want to see some real scrums for the eggs.
And here, Easter, Shannon was laughing. She says, Grandma, you're the only one I know that makes the grandkids hate each other.
Oh, I love old school. Somewhere along the line, that stopped happening. But I'm all about it, you know?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we fought for all of the things that we had when we were kids growing up.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way it goes, that you end up learning something when you experience that. You're learning relationships and how things work. You learn to negotiate. You learn that there's not everything is you know, you learn to accept that defeat instead of, you know, crying about it. You know, that's a spectacular way to learn it, in my opinion. Makes you stronger.
Learn how to live through hard times.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or let one of them hold on to it for a couple, 3 hours, and okay, you're tired. give it to your brother, you know. I mean, if you want to do it that way.
Yeah, or maybe the brother steals it, you know. I mean, that's also good. And then...
I don't mind that. You get what you
right.
get.
Right. You know, the way it was... The way it needs to be is you got the moms and the dads, and then the kids are taking care of their own little world, you know, and they're trying to do it without mom and dad knowing that there's something going on.
We baby our kids so much.
Yeah, we got to not baby them. I'm starting to sound like a 90-year-old dude. I like it. This is the way I want to be like this.
Well, yeah.
All right. Ryan writes, Dear Meathead, pretend you're stranded on a desert island. Can you give me three things you would want to have access to in order to survive?
Oh, boy. I never had a chance to think about that.
Okay, so you got to think. You got to go with water, right?
Well, for sure, the water.
And fire.
Well, Joanne says fire, but then again, you got to have food.
Okay, so fire, food.
Food.
How about Joanne as the third thing?
Well, yeah.
Fire? You know what?
Automatically, you take it for granted that she's going to be around.
Yeah.
Right.
In fact, that's pretty much all we do at Grayling. Fire, food, and Joanne.
Right.
So that would be a good time.
Where the hell do you come from?
That's
thinking of all these things.
That's exactly what we do. That's incredible.
Hey, how often do you go up there?
I haven't been up, well, since we last went up there for the fall, I've only been up once. So I'm hoping to go up there in a few weeks. I've been very, very busy.
Uh-huh.
I want to see you turn that new camper into the driveway.
Oh, my God. That's going to be something. All right.
You've been up there and chopped some trees down.
I got so much wood, you won't believe it.
One time I was.
So you could turn in the driveway.
Exactly. Who knows? Maybe we will have to. I hope not, but we'll see.
We got to do some action, you know, have a trip scheduled, clean up, cut down, and stack them up and all that jazz.
Hey,
you're
speaking my language.
Yeah, well, you do it by yourself. You can't do as much as three people can, you know.
I know it. The more the merrier. The more the merrier.
You got to maybe get a stack of all that for future use, you know.
Hey.
Yeah, you can fall out there. I know what you're up to.
Hey, you can supervise. You can supervise.
Joanne wants me to take the saw.
No, I said you do.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, maybe. We'll keep an eye on you.
You know, somehow or other, you got something of me. That you like to
oh yeah, we're the same.
Do the same thing that I did.
Yep, we're the same. I've got the same gene you have now, and with the exception of I try not to drop trees on pets.
Yeah, absolutely correct. You know when you go to the end of the thing, when your property ends.
Yep.
And then you keep going.
Yes.
Have you ever done that?
Yes, I just get lost. I'm like one with nature.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I miss those days, but I don't care to get you involved in that.
Yes, you do. I'll see you up there in a few weeks.
Well, maybe we will.
No, you will. For Memorial Day, it's a tradition.
Yes,
yeah,
it's
amazing. Yeah. Yeah, there you
go. All right. I got your place all warmed up. I can picture it now.
All right.
Okay.
All right, guy.
All right, guy. You have a good rest of your day. Both you two love each other, and everybody loves you. And,
yeah, love you, honey.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you, too. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for getting back with me.
thanks for doing this. Are you kidding? This is a highlight of many, a highlight of the day for many people.
Well, yeah, I guess they are. I haven't done that for a long time. I don't have any memories anymore.
Okay, Dad. Well, I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right, love you.
Okay, bye. Love you too. Okay, bye. Bye-bye. See ya. There you go. Dear Meathead, as always, a wonderful time. Yeah, going back over memories with him, it's like, oh, it just takes him back. As you know, he tends to repeat himself. We're all used to that now. We just do our best to make him feel comfortable, like he's not repeating himself. He'll repeat himself in the same conversation more than once, but always a good time. David says, Meathead sounds sharp today. I love this segment. Kenny writes, LOL, Eric to his 90-year-old father. I'm starting to sound like a 90-year-old dude. I like this. So true, though. Cole writes, the kid needs to wear the shirt every day and remind his brother that he's a loser. Yeah, that's what we used to have to deal with. That was so, like, let's take that same situation and go back to 1977 with EZ. 7-year-old EZ, 11-year-old World Book Jim. If Jim has the t-shirt and I say, Mom, I didn't get one, she'd say, so what? And then I'd cry and then I'd walk away and that's it. If I raised too much hell, she might get pissed off at me, but it was, you know, she probably wouldn't do anything. And then Jim would then wear the shirt just like you're saying. And then I would say, Mom, Jim's doing that and trying to rub it in my face. And she'd say, excuse me, are you tattletaling? And if I said yes, I get my ass beat. But if I say no, she'd say, well, get the hell out of here then. I'm not dealing with this. They've got more stuff to deal with. More important stuff. And you just teach a kid to fucking figure it out. They're much more clever and resilient than moms and dads give them credit for. They will figure it out. Kyle adds, you want it? Fight for it, work for it, or get over it. Yes! I wonder if we'll ever get back to that one day. You know, now you're a dad, you're a mom, you're 35 years old, and that's how it is. That's what they do. They're like, oh, yeah, let's, oh, well, you can't do that. That's not fair. What? Of course, I had my kids. I had Jim in 1995. Jacqueline was born in 1997. And I would like to think that, and Madison in 2002, I would like to think that we handled them that way. We had a lot of, when growing up in Jenison, them growing up in Jenison, it was a lot of up on a summer day and then gone for the day. And then maybe come back for lunch, maybe, or eat over at someone else's house and take their food and then come home like when the streetlights come on. I mean, we actually did that. Yeah, just make sure you're home by dark. God knows what went on back then. I know what went on with Jim when he was about 17. Let me give you parents some advice. Because a lot of you are younger than I am, and you have young kids. All right? If you have a son or a daughter, do not leave them alone with the boyfriend or the girlfriend. Take every opportunity to cock block that you can. Because if you don't C-block them, you increase the risk of an early pregnancy. Now, I love my grandkids very much, but if they could wave a magic wand, and I think anybody would say this, maybe when the kids, yeah, you know, maybe a little bit into their life instead of when they're teenagers. Trust me on this one. Rebecca writes, we currently have an ex-coworker wanting to come back to our place of employment and to get all of her seniority back. She's been gone over a year and a half. That's really not fair. Exactly. All right. You're not going to believe this, but I got to go pee again. I'm learning that this is a very common thing when we do the show later in the day. My apologies, but I'll be right back. Black flag. Cow fade. All right. Kenny writes, great advice, LOL, but then allow your next child to have their boyfriend move in and sleep in the same room with her. Yes, that did happen. However, at that point in time, I had experienced Hulk strength with Jacqueline. And that Hulk strength is what reminded me that she is all powerful and I am absolutely helpless, and she could kill us all with her strength. Kenny says, it still blows my mind, honestly. Yeah, you know who's who else's mind that blows? Jackie's. She's like, why did you allow that? And I'm like, huh? Look, I don't want to go and relive all of that. Okay? Truth be told, I was it wasn't so much me. Mom, I that's a good question. I'm going to bring Mom in here. I remember being outnumbered. You know, like almost ganged up on. Hello, how are you?
Good.
So we were just discussing, we were going back, where I was searching my memory banks when Jacqueline was with Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested that because they would often, I remember there was one moment when he was sleeping in that room that has no one in it. And and I don't know if he was Madison. He was sleeping in one of the rooms that wasn't occupied. And then he woke up when I was like up and he went into Jackie's room. And I remember I got like pissed off. Do you remember? I was like, hey, what's going on? Okay. And from there, though, I ended up relenting and saying, oh, whatever, I don't care. In my mind, you and Jackie combined forces on Team Pink and kind of made that happen, pushed that through.
I don't recall that.
That, well, what do you recall then?
Well, I remember like he would sleep downstairs in the basement, not in, because Maddie was still living with us.
Okay. But you don't remember them ever in the same bed? Maybe you're blocking it out. That definitely happened.
Yeah, maybe I'm blocking it out. Or maybe like later in the relationship when she was at past, you know, an adult. But I don't remember like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. It was when she was older than 18. So, yeah, it wasn't when she was like a 16-year-old.
Gosh.
No, it wasn't like that. It was after she was 18. It wasn't. I know for a fact it wasn't before she was 18.
Okay.
But so Kenny says, because Kenny was talking about how in the world could you let that happen? But I think the bigger question is, how in the world did we let it happen? Because Jackie has said to me, Dad, how did you let it happen to where I was dating Ernie in the first place? Which sucked, because at the time I was like, well, maybe I should do something. And everybody said, no, you can't.
Well, I remember, like, having a talk with him and her, and, you know, having a talk with him saying, you know, she's a minor and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he seemed very, you know.
Yeah, he got out that, remember he had that purity card or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, was that all a scam, do you think?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
And then, like, you know, we would drive her to Grand Valley to see him and then go pick her up, remember?
Right.
Oh, gosh.
That's not good? That's no good.
No, I mean, I think it was fine, but I'm just thinking, gosh, that was crazy.
Well, he was 19 when she was 16.
Yeah.
Okay, Kenny says it was a total scam that you flash that card, and when it says, I'm a virgin and this is my purity card, it's all to trick moms and dads.
Maybe, but, you know, at the time he seemed very genuine. So what are you supposed to do? You have your daughter get pissed off at you, or, you know.
Right. So to be clear, we weren't allowing them to pork when she was 16. No. We weren't saying, go in and get her. It wasn't anything like that.
Correct.
All right. Yeah, there's some revisionist history going on.
Yeah. I don't like to think about it.
Let's see. Kenny writes, I still can't believe I had the opportunity to meet them both before they broke up. And I asked them, Ernie, you didn't really sleep on the mattress in the floor, did you? And Jackie immediately said, of course not.
Hmm.
Well, that was after, again, that was post 18. She was over 18 at the time.
Right.
So, but it was still in our house. So that's a little weird.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? What's done is done. He had, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I only brought it up.
She didn't get pregnant. So here we are.
I only brought it up because fuckface Kenny brought it up, which that's no surprise.
Okay.
All right. Sounds like you're in a wind tunnel.
Because the fan is out and I'm getting ready to get up to do the laundry.
Yeah. All right.
It's been a long, big, a hard day today. Very tired.
Yeah. You woke up and then you went downstairs and then you went back to bed. It's your vacation. You're supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. I got to work later, so I'm taking advantage of it.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Love you, bye.
Megan says, purity culture was a real thing. It has a lot of people in therapy now, but at the time, it could have been legit. I hate to say it, but read Diana, my precious comment. Yeah, when you do that, I've talked to you before about that. All that does is confuses me. It's so annoying when you do that. Hey, no, go back up and look at this. If you're going to take the time, fuckhead, just highlight it and repost it. And then don't post a typo. All right? In fact, you've now fired off so many comments, and everybody hates you to begin with. So I think it's time you take a break. I think it's time. Yeah, it's time. Everyone's had enough of you for one day. You had your chance. You were doing fine. I give you a little bit of rope. And then you hang yourself. You give me typos and confuse the fuck out of me. You write 8,000 messages. And now you're the asshole of the day. It's that simple. That's how it works around here with you. You can be doing so well, and then you're fucked. Corey writes, every high school had that one girl that thought only anal still made her a virgin. Not at my school. At least I didn't know that. Allison says, my parents let my ex-boyfriend move into our house when I was 17. Wow. Looking back now, I'm not entirely sure what they were thinking. That's very similar to what was going on with me. My God. All right. Tyler impersonates Kenny and says, hey, man, cue in to 17 comments ago. Yeah. Of all the audience members, we all know Kenny is stupid. Remarkably stupid. And you can tell him something 8 million times, and it will take one more than that for it to get through his head. He does not process things normally. He is retarded. We all know that. And then it gets confusing to me, and I look like an asshole when I read his goddamn comment, and then it's got fucking typos all over the place. It's like, why do I fall for this? I should ban myself because I fall for it every time with that idiot. You know how many times I have gone down this road and said to myself, don't engage him. Don't read his comment. He's going to fuck you right in the butt. Don't do it. It's like feeding a fucking retarded cat is what it's like. God damn. Corey's asking for it. Because he writes, hey man, I'm the show expert when it comes to divorce and child custody battles. And then he writes too far, but he misspells too. Yes, it is too far. Yes, it's too far. You asshole. Amy says, how would that work if EZ banned himself? Well, I'm mad at myself for even reading his comments. It only leads to a bad spot every time. I shouldn't do it. All right. We're getting closer to tax season. I'm sorry. We're getting closer to the tax deadline. Tag accounting 616-301-9516. Reach out to Tag Accounting. You have 12 days until the tax deadline. You can still get this done from no matter where you are in the audience. I just heard from Adam Davis, who said it was a great experience despite the fact that I owe just less than $6,000. He did a great job. 616-301-9516. No matter where you are in the U.S., because you have the ability to upload all your shit and get it to him, and then he does your taxes for you. It's that simple. You don't have to be in front of him. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Blue State Rob said, hey, I'm a first-time mortgage customer. What do I do? He reached out to Mario. Mario took care of him. He has a licensed agent in New Jersey to help with Rob himself. One-on-one. 231-332-6505. That's 231-332-6505. Paintball, April 28th. That's Paintball War number 24. That is at TC Paintball. I want you there. Reach out to me and tell me that you're coming. Also, book your own event at TC Paintball. Online at tcpaintballgr.com. Frank Fuss. Oh, my God. Did you see the image I posted of Frank the Tank Fuss? So, we're friends on Facebook, and then I guess his wife said, Frank, you're such a hunk. Let me take a couple pictures of you and post it. Now, Frank's like older than I am, I think. Oh, fuck, where is it? Okay, here's the picture. This is what I want to show you. No, that's not it either. God damn it. Ah, here you go. This is Frank. Yeah. Look at him. What an asshole. Oh, my God. This is inspiring. To be that old and look like that. Anyway, ladies, that's the tank. Reach out to the tank, Frank Fuss, for anything insurance related. Sir Bob says, who has more typos, Kenny or JC? Kenny. Chris says that the tank is 2 years younger than I am. Tyler says, do you think he has a policy for those guns of his? Yeah, exactly. That is impressive. Well done. Anyway, reach out to Frank on the website buyinsurancehere.com. That's right, buyinsurancehere.com. Okay. There's an update on that kid who died in Nashville. I think he went to Missouri, and it was like college night at the bar. He walked out of the bar, or they got thrown out, or he got separated from his group. And the next thing you know, they can't find their buddy. Disappears. Riley Strain. His body was eventually found. This thing looks weird because it wasn't like they just found his body. There was what appears to be foul play, but they didn't say that. And I think they're doing, the family says there's more here to look at than what remains to be seen. It doesn't look like he just fell in the Cumberland River. Something terrible happened, and they think something more sinister. This is like your true crime segment for the day.
The family of Riley Strain doesn't have to imagine that awful scenario. They've experienced it. And tonight they have more details and more questions about the death of 22-year-old Missouri college student Riley Strain.
I don't know what's going on. It just went ape shit on me. Well, that's a bummer. Oh, great. Spinning wheel of death. Fuck. Well, now we can learn about Nutrisystem. Easy, do you still have that flooring sponsor? I have a project and wanted to use them. This comment. The Rock is 51 and bigger now than when he was in his 20s. I tell you what's not going to help you is the Ozempic shake, which I actually had the shake during the Patreon yesterday. What a fucking horrible thing. Do not do that. No matter what anybody tells you, no matter what video you watch on TikTok.
College and then come home in a hearse. The family of Riley Strain doesn't have to imagine that awful scenario. They've experienced it. And tonight they have more details and more questions about the death of 22-year-old Missouri college student Riley Strain. Was it really an accident, as police say? Well, tonight the focus is on one key accessory that Riley was apparently wearing the night he disappeared from downtown Nashville, a belt. New information from the Strain family points to a possibility of a more sinister ending to the young man's life than the initial autopsy suggested. The Nashville Police Department has determined there were no signs of foul play. Riley's body was pulled from the Cumberland River 2 weeks after he vanished, about 8 miles away after a night out with friends.
Does it seem like it's taken her way too long to explain this shit?
Allegedly left a local bar by himself. There is security footage of him walking off, but in the wrong direction, in the opposite direction of his hotel. Riley was found in the river without his pants, his wallet, or his cowboy boots that he was wearing the night he went missing.
That. How can the cops say, yeah, no sign of foul play? It's near a homeless encampment. He has no boots, no pants, no belt, and no wallet. Yet no signs of foul play? That's stupid.
And despite a massive, intensive search of the area, those items of clothing have never turned up. The family says...
That's because some transient who's now in fucking Idaho is wearing them.
Riley was also wearing a belt the night he disappeared. Joining us now is Strain family friend Chris Dingman. Chris, great to have you back on the show. It's the first time I've had you on the show since Riley's funeral. I just first want to ask, how are Michelle and...
Boy, Elizabeth Vargas sucks.
Chris and the rest of his family doing?
You know, I got to visit with them today. They came over to the office for a little bit and we got to catch up and, you know, just talk about life, being home. Michelle was able to talk just a little bit and then instantly, you know, went into memories and missing her son. So it's still very, very brutal on the family right now. We're in the stage right now to where we want answers.
Yeah.
We were able and blessed to bring Riley home and, you know, to bury him properly. But now the war room is totally turned into getting answers because people know there's some answers out there that we need to have.
What are those answers that you need, and how are they related to this belt that he was apparently wearing that night that his parents say he wore every day?
Yeah, there's still some people of interest. We noticed that News Nation actually reached out Friday to the Metro Nashville Police Department following up on the investigation, seeing if there was any new information, and was told abruptly that there was no investigation. They were waiting for toxicology. So unlike...
This is a blundered investigation already. You can tell. How the fuck can you... Oh, yeah, it's closed. The guy has no pants, no wallet, no boots, no belt, and say no foul play.
More like what we have found this entire time of doing this, trying to find Riley, is we're going to have to find our information via the internet, via TikTok, via incredible reporters like you guys chasing down leads, because I strongly feel that we're not going to get any support from Metro Nashville. Our two strongest leads that we have received has been from the internet, not from the police, stuff that was given to the police. So,
and what are those leads?
The leads were like right there with the body cam. You know, we had people that had found the debit card shortly following that.
Mm-hmm.
The couple that actually come forward from listening to a podcast that was in the last video that he was seen by the construction barricade. You know, there's so little, but when you're watching the film that you're showing right now with the police cam, when it spins around, there's actually there's some people that's farther down the way that looks like they're sitting outside their vehicle.
But what is the Chris? What's the significance of the
belt? She pulled a free beer on him.
Belt, because listen, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when something happens to a person, whether, for example, they're hit by a car, they're often knocked out of their shoes, out of their clothes. People don't understand that that actually happens. Same thing happens when a person falls into a river. Items of clothing can be ripped off by the current, by the force of the fall. He still had his shirt on. And you say that because of a belt, he should have still had his pants on. Can you explain why you're attaching so much significance to the fact that you say he was wearing a belt?
Yeah, the belt, Riley had a swimmer's body, and I loved him for that. He was actually an excellent swimmer. And his hips, with the belt being on his hips, that would have been even more hard for the pants to come off in the water. It literally would have been snug to him. It would have been riding on his hips. Everybody we talked to about that, as soon as we found out he had a belt on that night, was like, wow, that totally changes the dynamics of why those articles are missing. His boots, they're a size 15 boot. Anytime any shoes or tennis shoes get wet, you know how hard it is just to get a tennis shoe off, let alone a size 15 boot. So the belt is a big piece of the puzzle that we now have, and but once again, raises more questions.
And when do you expect the results? You have ordered, the family has ordered a second autopsy to be performed. When do you expect to have results from that?
So while this is going on, they're playing all sorts of video of him, various surveillance cameras of him. He was shit-faced, stumbling around in that area.
They were actually following up on that today and reached out. We were told, which we've not been given the information by the original autopsy, but we were told a family member can request the actual autopsy short of the toxicology that Metro Nashville provided. We were not aware of that information. So the family did reach out today, I think left messages to try to get that initial report also. So we're hoping within the next 24 hours to get more answers than we currently have.
Right.
But I also wish we would have been given that when it was done a week ago.
Yeah, that would have been helpful.
Yeah, Alfred, the cops suck. That's what's going on here. Cops don't want to work. They don't want to ask those questions. They don't want to do their job. Allison writes, family friend knows too much about his hips. Tyler writes, please start over and explain the function of belts. Corey says, TikTok and podcast, some homeless meth head is walking around in cowboy boots and a new belt. Linda says, I searched for Brendan Santo 2 years ago when he went missing at MSU. I would not have been prepared to find a body, though. Yeah, was that, I forgot about that story, and I can't... You hear about these people that go missing, and sometimes they don't ever turn up. That goddamn Electric Forest. There was some dude that went there to that and just disappeared. Hasn't been seen since. I don't know how people... I mean, it's one thing if something is terrible as strain here. I mean, the kid is dead. You got his body. It's just terrible. But the ones that don't turn up, my God. I can't even begin to process that. Fucking terrible. All right. Patreon in just a handful of minutes. We have the asshole of the day coming up in just a bit. Joe Martinez, a damn legend, is inviting you to call upon him to get your AC tuned up at 616-516-8579. 616-516-8579. Joe Martinez. For A&E Heating and Cooling, if you have any problems with your setup, your AC, your furnace, whatever it may be, he can install a new one for you. AC, furnace, water heaters. A&E Heating and Cooling, 616-516-8579. Remember them. You never know when you're going to need to call Joe Martinez. It might just pop up on you and you're like, oh, God, easy. I got to get that guy that EZ's been talking about for years. Joe Martinez, A&E Heating and Cooling. Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. The world-famous Megan is over there. 616-532-6600. Irvines.com, their website. ERVines, that's ERVines.com. 616-532-6600 for Irvines. And last but not least, Green Medicine Shop. When it comes to cannabis consumption, I know some of you just can't stop. You're like, get me more cannabis. Let's get high. Get it at Green Medicine Shop. You can only get cannabis there with your med card. In a recreational world, they are the outliner. Where they're at, where they make their home and their living, is Greenville, Michigan. And the city ordinance says you can't have a recreational facility. So they said, fuck it. We're doing a medicinal facility. So, though you like going to your shop that's a recreational facility, I want you to try out Green Medicine Shop in Greenville just once. Fantastic place to buy your cannabis. I've been there. Wonderful people. Matt and Shawnee. Green Medicine Shop. Online at thegreenmedicineshop.com. Today's asshole of the day. Who are your suggestions? I'm thinking maybe the Nashville police. Kenny writes, the worst is the kid that has been missing since late February, and there's no trace of him whatsoever. I cannot even begin to comprehend that. He says the one we were talking about earlier isn't even the craziest missing person story in Middle Tennessee. It was the one he just said. Asshole of the day, morons at Triumph duped with the fake Trump audio. And that's coming from a Trump fan. Cole loves Trump. I love my audience members that love Trump and put up with all the shit I talk about them. Hang on. I had to get my dry erase marker. I'm sure that'll be covered on the Big Fraud News Network. Trump supporters. I'll just throw you all in there because you're all stupid anyway. I love that I can talk shit about the Trump supporters in the audience and they still come back for more. Your asshole of the day, assholes of the day are Trump supporters. You could have them every day. It just would get redundant, you know? All right. Let's see. On Patreon today, what are we talking about? Okay. The guy who built a $500,000 house. Well, he had a contractor build a $500,000 house. And it was a major problem with it. And it's unbelievable when you hear the mix-up that happened. All right. So there's that. Let's see. What else are we going to get to? I don't have anything else. I have to look for something. Okay. So my work is cut out for me on the Patreon bonus podcast. We'll get to that show as soon as I get my ducks in a row for all that. I have one story. If you have any story suggestions, send them along. Eric@ericzaneshow.com. For now, thank you. Have a good one, folks. Bye-bye.